ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
नमः ॐ विष्णु पदाय कृष्णा प्रसाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी नित्य नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी सद्गत्यादि सदारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर सदि गौरभक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे I believe when we heard Smita Krishna Maharaj speaking about the lessons which we can learn from nature, in that particular case, the tree, we all felt immediately how close it was what he said to us. I remembered I looked at our guide, Mr. Meto. Yes. And he also listened to Maharaj, and I could see how he was liking and appreciating what Maharaj said. For instance, we must be deep rooted like the tree, but we must look towards the sky. I could see how Mr. Whatever his good name is, Meto or
Meho,
Mr. Meho, was getting even a little wet eyes from appreciation. I could see immediately why the Bhagavatam says that the first step in God realization is to see the Lord in our immediate environment. In the sky, in the earth, in the water, in the fire, everywhere the Lord is present. Now, today, I would like to speak to you about a particular presence of the Lord in the natural elements. The Lord is present there as the Adi Guru, the original spiritual master and teacher, who is teaching us, when we look at the elements, certain lessons which are very important for our life. Like Krishna talked to Arjuna, and what is with this talk, the Bhagavad Gita, the Adi Guru, the original guru of every other spiritual master. Krishna also is the Adi Guru when he speaks through nature to us. But it takes a certain mood to hear his lessons and understand them deeply. Smita Krishna Maharaj has spoken about this mood to all of us. It takes actually a mood of humility. When the heart is not humble, then you will always be superficial on the external platform, and you will not be able to understand spiritual teachings. The practical manifestation of humility is detachment. And the practical manifestation of pride or material consciousness is attachment. Only a person who is humble, who understands I'm very small, I'm actually a spiritual soul, a part of Krishna. Only someone who is humble like that can be detached from the wrong understanding that he is the material body and the material mind. And only someone who is humble like that can see the teachings of the Lord. Do you know what they say in Chinese for humility? It's a vision of reality. Someone who is proud lives in an illusion. Only a humble soul lives in the reality. And only such a person can understand the Lord's words. Only a humble heart is a fertile ground in which the Lord's words take effect, take root, and then grow. Many thousand years ago, the king of the world, Maharaj Yadu, was on a journey. And he came into a deep forest, and all of a sudden, in the forest, he saw something which totally startled him. You must see, there was a forest, and in the forest a river. And out of the river emerged, totally naked, a saint. He had long, long hair. It was matted. It was dropping. And his whole face looked so effulgent. And the saint moved towards Maharaj Yadu. Maharaj Yadu, first reaction was to go to his word. Then he said, no, it's the Svetats. Then he talked with him and said, you look externally so simple, but if I look into your shining eyes, I know that you are self-realized. Can you please tell me how you have learned? Tell me something about you. And the saint, he answered. He said, I have learned from 24 gurus. Yadu was immediately interested. I mean, usually you hear, you have one guru or maybe two gurus. 24 is a little big, isn't it? Just in ISKCON language, where will he put all the paintings, you know, or pictures when he offers all the mantras he has to chant? So, I mean, Maharaj Yadu was very much amazed, just like a modern devotee might be very amazed to hear such a statement. Let us say, Nikunya Rasa says, I have 24 gurus. Oops, very unusual. And we would report her to the GBC. Avaduta Brahmana, he explained some of his gurus and the lessons he had learned from them. And as you will listen to this now, you will also learn some very, very important lessons for your spiritual life. I would like to first of all draw your attention up. We will follow our Smita Krishna Maharaj and look now in the sky. What do you see? Clouds.
No.
What?
Blue sky.
Blue. Sunse. Birds. Who saw birds? I saw insects.
Wind.
How do you see wind, oh Jashvi? He sees the symptoms. Here you also see that there is wind. See, look at the trees, how they move. Now Ojashvi has done something very important, which you will also have to learn in this lesson. He has he is seeing now by his intelligence, not by the eyes. Wind you cannot see as such. I will see a little, I will also see now with my intelligence. Okay. I heard some noise a little while ago. Someone was passing air. I saw with my intelligence some foul air. Let me do another thing, what I do with my intelligence. Don't be afraid of me. I see someone who is not close enough to listen. So this person is not interested. I will do some other things. Should I continue or is it too embarrassing? I don't want, because I would embarrass my audience, and I don't want to do this in this good thing. Seeing by the intelligence, very important. The Lord in the form of Guru Tattva is teaching us to see by intelligence. If you don't learn to see with your intelligence, you will most probably never learn to see spiritually. Another thing, I went out of the bus, because you asked me for one more thing, but it will be very intense now. Fasten your seat belts. I came in after being with Maharaj in the forest for some short expedition, the water expedition. I came back and I looked in the bus, and there were a few devotees with kami food on their laps. I saw one Brahmin initiated devotee whom I just had given Brahmin initiation, eating things which a Brahmin cannot eat, which are not shuddha food. For instance, if you eat chips, they are made in pig's fat, you eat a pig, Brahmin. Chocolate. You cannot eat this. It showed me that this Brahmin had never thought deeply about the Brahmin initiation, what it means, how to live a pure life. It taught me how this Brahmin is a so-called Brahmin, like one of the many of ISKCON, who don't go deep and who can never experience spiritual life. Okay, I will now stop looking with my intelligence, because you will all become afraid of me. So, it's very important. Now, we will learn something from the wind. The mighty wind carries clouds, and it carries different aromas. We spoke about one aroma. But the wind is never attached. It is totally detached. Although it is in contact with so many objects. In the same way, the soul who enters the material body comes in contact with great events. But really these events never touch the eternal soul. Just like the wind is never touched if Haris passes wind. Or passes air. Or the wind is never really concerned about the clouds and what they carry. An enlightened soul should learn from the wind to go through different situations and maybe for some time carry these situations, but should not become detached and controlled by them. This is what we should learn from the wind. The water. The Avadhuta Brahmana saw, I saw water. And I listened to the water, how the water made a beautiful vibration. You know, like the water vibration. And I watched the other symptoms of the water. For instance, when you are dirty and you take the water, you can always wash the dirt away. Isn't that wonderful? I was just before, oops, now I did it again. I was in my nose, now I can do this. And the water will take it away. The water is not only pure, it is also purifying. In the same way, a devotee should speak pleasant. He shouldn't speak like me, chastising the Bosnian Brahmanas. The devotee should have a pleasing sound vibration, which is carrying Krishna. And the devotee's words should purify the soul. This is what we can learn from the water. Then the Avadhuta said, one day I learned from an extraordinary guru. He was an arrow maker. He was sitting by the side of the road and he was sharpening the head of an arrow. At that time, I saw how the king with all his men came by. But the arrow maker, there was music, there was dance, there were beautiful princesses. But the arrow maker was so much focused on seeing his immediate task, that is to sharpen the arrow, that he was not looking up and not seeing the king and the queens and the musicians and the this and the that. So this is what I learned from the arrow maker. Fix my mind like that on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Do you get the point? A person who looks with a certain qualification into the world, he can learn lessons from the elements which surround him and the people which surround him. He will actually hear his beloved Gospodin, his beloved Lord, speak to him through everyone and anyone. My last lesson for today, which I would like to share with you, is the pigeon. I have not seen a pigeon here, but down in Sarajevo I saw many pigeons. The Avadhuta once went through a shumi, through a forest, and he saw a pigeon in a pigeon nest. These were two very idealistic pigeons, man and woman pigeon. They were very much in love with each other. They spent all the time together, making the pigeon sound when the pigeon is in love. Finally, they decided to raise a family, and they had three children, who also made the sound, but a little higher. And the father thought, how intelligent my child is speaking, how absolutely absorbing his talk is. And the mother was similarly enjoying very much the very, very enlightened speech of the small little pigeon baby. One day, the three little pigeon children were flying down from the nest, coming on the ground, and one hunter who wanted to have very good eatable meat threw his net over the male deities. When the mother came, when the mother came after it had searched for food and saw her little children in the clutches of the hunter, she immediately felt very helpless. Here I have created my maledetses, my little children. I am now bound to these children with great feelings of love. My life is useless without these children. This cruel hunter has taken my children. May he take my life as well. And she went down, and the hunter just threw his net and caught the kitchen, the pigeon wife. Now a little later, the male pigeon, the pigeon father, came flying to his nest. Where's my wife? Where are the children? When the father saw his wife and his children in a helpless condition, he immediately felt great pain in his heart. My life force is destroyed. My very reason to live is gone. And it also went to the clutches of the pigeons, of the hunter, and died. Now he said, the male pigeon said, "Alas!" Or I will now say it in your language, "Oh vaya! Just see how I am now destroyed. I am obviously a great fool, for I did not properly execute pious activities." Was a very, very Krishna conscious pigeon father. "I could not satisfy myself, nor could I fulfill the purpose of life. My dear family, which was the basis of my religiosity, economic development and sense gratification, is now hopelessly ruined. My family is ruined. My wife and I were an ideal team. She always obeyed me. And in fact, she accepted me as the supreme personality of Godhead, her worshipable deity. But now, seeing her children lost and her home so empty, she has left me behind and gone to heaven with our saintly children. Now, I'm a wretched person living in an empty home. My wife is dead. My children are dead. Why should I possibly want to live?" You know, the Avaduta Brahmana listened to the speech of the pigeon. "My heart is so pained by separation from my family that life itself has become simply suffering. As the father pigeon wretchedly..." So now he... These were his words. The pigeon saw his dead children and his dead wife, and from attachment, his mind went black. He jumped down with wings like this, the head first, to where his family was, and also died from attachment. The Bhagavatam says, in this way, one who is too attached becomes disturbed at heart, like the pigeon Such an attached person tries to find pleasure in mundane sex attraction. He's busily engaged in maintaining his own family and goes down into material consciousness. Oh, dear devotees, the doors of liberation are opened wide to one who has achieved the human life. But if a human being simply becomes attached to mundane life, like the foolish bird in this story, then he is like someone who has climbed to a high place only to trip and fall down. The Avadhuta Brahmana spoke about the last guru. The last guru is his own body. Could you imagine what he has learned from his own body? For a moment, just please look at your own body. Look at your hands, your shoulders, your chest, your sacred behind, your legs. What could you learn from your body?
Tolerance.
Tolerance? Why?
There's always uncomfort sensation there.
It's always some uncomfortable sensation is there, and we have to learn to tolerate, to live with our bodies. Especially when you turn after over 50. Some embarrassing things like hemorrhoids. Distraction. He distracts us. We may like to listen to a lecture, but Moisius, Moisius. It is not distraction, destruction. It is subjected to destruction. Yes, yes, will be burned, destroyed. What else can you learn from your body? It's an interesting question, isn't it? Limitations. You may like to do so much more. You may like to climb up the mountain here, but you feel also a little tired. Sorry? The body is always changing. Very, very good. Harmony. Scriptures say we should learn to give also, we can learn from the body to give to God, just because the body has one center of existence, at least a center of nourishment, that's the stomach. If you want to feed the body, you have to go over the stomach. So only if you go over the stomach, you can live very happily. But if you put the food in the ear or in the nose, you will get sick. Yeah. So you have to go to the center of all existence, which is Krishna. Then only you will be able to enjoy. Very good.
To not neglect things, because body teaches us that we have to be responsible to take care of it. Otherwise, it's
yeah.
Burden.
Yeah. We cannot neglect things. This we can learn from the body. If we neglect some areas of physical hygiene or health, then we will suffer. No? Nanda Gopal is our child philosopher. Was kann man vom Körper lernen? Irgendeine Idee? That one has to die. He is very philosophical. Yeah. One can never say, I don't want to die. One has to die. And one can also not just leave dying aside. No, no, this is not for me. We have to die. I'm translating word by word. Nanda Gopal is amazing. He's the philosopher. Yeah. Danke, danke. Also wenn du so weitermachst, Nanda Gopal, werde ich dich auch mal bitten, so kleine Vorlesungen zu geben, von 5 Minuten oder so. Also erst noch ein bisschen stillhalten lernen und dann kommt der zweite. Ja, ja, gut. So, yes. Danke. Sehr, sehr gute Dinge hast du gesagt. Ja. So. Would you like to know what the Avadhuta Brahmana learned?
He
had a very interesting teaching. Detachment. He says the body, just like Nanda Gopal said, and some of you said, the body is always subject to creation and then destruction. Ultimately, however, the body comes to a painful end. It will come to a painful end. This is for sure. Like Ojasvi has also recognized this. Now, although the body comes to a painful end, listen to this very carefully, the activities which you do in the body will create certain reactions. Just like a tree, the tree when it grows will create seeds, and the seeds will then fall into the ground, and as a result there will be more trees. In the same way, our material body, although it is so temporary and comes to a painful end, it still creates the seeds of karma, which will force us to take on a body after body. For instance, our tongue may like kami food very much. Chips, pow. And this little sinful taste of pig fat. It's very, very enjoyable. Or chocolate. Wow. Yes, we hear that it's not good. But the tongue says to me, it is very good. And I will listen to my tongue now in this degree. If you live a life like this, where you don't act on spiritual knowledge, but simply because you're attached to your miserable body, which will die in a few hours or so, you will ruin your life after life. So the Avadhuta Brahmana saw, although this comes to a painful end, the activities unfortunately perpetuate themselves, continue on after this life, and I will have to bear all the karma for this. So I better take a reserved position to my body and the tongue and the stomach inside of it. This was a good point. Yes. So, it is very, very necessary and then he says, the Avadhuta sings the song, Labd Vasudulabham, and so on and so forth. This verse says, the human body is temporary, and it is very rarely achieved. Do you know today that my audience, my non-human audience, is much larger in number than my human audience? There's so many insects I saw passing by, being mildly interested, mildly because they saw the fresh, some mosquitoes were there, they saw your blood, but they also understood it's a little bit too cold to suck at this moment. So there were many non-human audience today. We are in the minority here, like anything. So although the human body is so rarely achieved, it can give us the greatest benefit, says the Avadhuta Brahmana. It can give us the benefit of liberation from the material existence. We only have to learn one little thing, and that's why the Avadhuta, this is what the Avadhuta learned from the pigeon, to not develop so much material attachments. My dear devotees, our movement is now becoming a congregational movement. We have more members in the congregation than those who actively live in our temples all over the world. This is a very natural and very nice development. But please, when you are in the congregation, you will naturally interact with the outside world more than if you are in the protected atmosphere of a temple. If you are a person who is meant to live like this, it is the most suitable place for you to live. But be very careful that not in the name of Krishna consciousness, material attachments come into your life and steal the treasure of Krishna consciousness away from you. It's very important that you keep an eye on this. And the way you can keep an eye on avoiding material attachment is to become more attached to Krishna. If you wish to give up material attachment with a laughter and with a happy smile, like Ananda Vrindavan is teaching us always, you should learn the art to become attached to Krishna. Detachment in Krishna consciousness always means attachment. Attachment to Krishna. This is important. This is why we are following spiritual life. What is the use if we follow spiritual life? The bus stops for just 1 second and whoop, we are out and eat and buy kami food as much as possible. Although there is the most delicious prasadam there. How are we spiritualists? How can imagine a TV reporter would be there at the bus stand. How spiritual are the Hare Krishna movement in Sarajevo? The door goes open, and everyone goes, wow, here's the Novats there, the chips. Imagine the scene. How Brahminical are the Brahmins, you know. And we then sent this movie to Prabhupada, or to... to where else? What is it? To Bhakti Vikash Maharaj. It's a good address also. What would be the reaction? Or to our Guru Maharaj. What would be his reaction? Oh, Krishna, you are very, very, very young devotees. They must become more attached to Krishna. So, yes. Okay, I'm sorry, but when I saw this morning, I thought I'll lose my life. I jump into the next river. I have wasted my life in Bosnia for 10 years. No one has understood anything. And I was very sad for a moment. Only the remembrance of the smile of Ananda Vrindavan was giving hope to me again. Hare Krishna. Yeah. So this is what I want to. I want to now come back. Hare Krishna. This tape will go all over the world. So on our next, they will want to know what we say on our next tour in the mountains. So it's a good time to improve your life. But this was only two or three devotees who did like this. The young ones amongst us. So therefore, it's really not a big problem. I want to come to the conclusion and then request our Smita Krishna Maharaj to talk. We really can learn from nature if we are in a very, very nice, humble state of mind. The other way we can learn from nature is if we have love in our heart. A lover will see Hare Krishna. Yes. Doichi, we have some prasadam for you. Some devotee prasadam. come, come, doji, doji. someone who has some little love for Krishna in his life, when he sees anything, he will be immediately reminded of Lord Krishna. For instance, here, he would see, if you look like this, he would immediately remember the description of Giriraj Govardhan. Giriraj Govardhan was even higher than this mountain at the time of Krishna's appearance. And when the demigod Indra was angry at the Brajbasis, he sent mighty rain clouds who put everything underwater. At that time, Krishna was very protective to his devotees. He saw, I have to protect the Brajabasis, and he ran to the Giriraj hill. And Prabhupada said, although he had no experience of weightlifting, he went under it and lifted Giriraj like this and said, come, come and take shelter under my arm. It is said, he lifted Giriraj like a child would lift an umbrella. Said, Doiji, come, come and take shelter. Thank you, Mara. Take shelter. Now at that time, Mother Yashoda saw Krishna lifting the Giriraj, and she came and began to massage the arm. Oh my son, this must be very strenuous for you. Please let me massage your arm. This is my great desire. So she massaged the arm. And Krishna said, Mother, I feel no inconvenience. Of course you feel inconvenience. Your hand is soft like butter, and this rock is so extremely cruel and hard. It will push your poor arm. No, no, Mother. Giriraj is very, very light. He has become weightless. Oh, said Yashoda, you always say like this, Gopal, to take my worries away. I only believe that Giriraj is weightless when he floats in the sky and flies around. Then I believe you. So Krishna said to Giriraj, Giriraj, just fly a little. In that moment, Giriraj just went like, made one nice circle, went once around, and then landed softly like a feather on Lord Krishna's head. This way, Krishna protected all the residents of Vrindavan with his strength. Then, at the end, when everything was over, he wanted to place Giriraj back into his original place. The cowherd boy said, Gopal, you can now move out of the out underneath the Giriraj shelter. We will hold Giriraj with our sticks. And they all took their stabs, and they all lifted Giriraj. They felt in their hearts, if Gopal is so strong, then he can lift it with one finger. We can certainly lift it with our cowherd sticks. They were becoming a little bit, they were thinking very high of themselves in the association of wonderful Krishna. They became a little proud of their own strengths. So they all had their stavas. Vedalani, please give me my stick. This, and then the other one, the long one. Yes, this is my. And they were all lifting like this. Then Krishna, and they thought, we are strong. We can also lift this, you know, like. No problem for us. Then Krishna, thank you, Gaurahari, you have very nicely lifted your stick. Then Krishna decided to teach the proud devotees a lesson. and he transferred a little of the weight from his hand on the sticks, and they all were like, "Oh, Gopal, you please don't go out of the. We will first go out, and then you go out." So Lord Krishna always does this, my dear devotees. To the devotees whom he loves very much, he takes away their pride. He makes them humble. Because, please remember this, if you want to see Krishna, if you want to understand Krishna consciousness, if you want to make the theory which you hear, for you it may be, for a beginner it is theory, into a practical experienced reality, you have to go through this humility, which means detachment from the material ego and material body and mind. Also, when you hear something which is intense, like when someone attacks material attachments, we always feel very disturbed in our mind. It's not we, it's our ego who feels disturbed. Who does he think he is to say like this? Please know it's only the ego. It's good for us to hear that we should improve in our spiritual lives. It's good if someone opens our eyes to where we can improve. Because so often we feel depressed and not nice in our spiritual life because we have developed attachments like the male pigeon who came to a very sad end, suicide. He committed suicide due to not seeing the doors of liberation which were open to him. So, Hare Krishna, I have come to the end. I thank you very much for listening so patiently. And I promise, at least for the rest of the walk, I will not look any longer through my intelligence at you. I will look at the nature. Srila Prabhupada ki, Sisi Gonitai ki, Go Premanandi Hari Hari Bo.